This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Ray Benson is not your typical country music star. He's about 6'7", grew up Jewish in Philadelphia. But after more than 40 years in the industry, he's picked up 9 Grammys, and his band, Asleep at the Wheel, is still putting on a show. The new memoir, Coming Right At You, tells the story of how Ray moved to rural West Virginia back in 1969 and started a Western swing band, traveled across the country, and eventually landed in Austin, Texas. Along the way, the band played with country legends like Willie Nelson and George Strait. Asleep at the Wheel performs tonight at the Carrboro Arts Center for a holiday-themed show called Merry Texas Christmas, Y'all. The band also performs New Year's Eve at the Greensboro Coliseum. And Ray Benson is in the studio with me now. Ray, good to have you here. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Happy to be here, Frank. A beautiful day to be indoors.
It certainly is that. Not typical of our weather, so come back anytime.
All right.
We really want to show off to you, Austin folks. David Menconi is with us as well, a music writer for the News and Observer who co-wrote Coming Right At You. Welcome back, David. Good to have you here as well.
Great to be here.
Hey, Ray, take us back to when you started this group back in the 60s. What, I mean, were you a big country fan and growing up in Philadelphia? What, swing music fan?
No, I liked all music. Yeah. I mean, I started as a child performer. We sang folk music. Mm. And so I had a band called the 4Gs with my sister and friends, and we performed once with the Philadelphia Orchestra. We sang This Land Is Your Land and On Top of Old Smokey and Puff the Magic Dragon and, you know, Kingston Trio stuff. But that was my upbringing. But I had big ears. I just listened to the radio, and I played in the high school jazz band. Had rock bands. Played in square dance bands, where I got into country music.
So what about West Virginia? Talk about moving there.
Well, I was in school in '69 at Antioch College, and my friend Lucky, who I started the band with, was with Maryland, and he said, "These guys, let's start a band. Okay, what are we going to do? I don't know. Let's move out of the city." Cities were kind of crazy in '69, Vietnam was happening.
Well, if you were at Antioch in '69, you were a dang hippie.
Oh, absolutely. That's in the title of my book, Hippie.
It's in there.
And so we said, we're getting the hell out of here. And so in 1970, these guys said, "Hey, you can come to West Virginia. We're caretaking an old orchard of 1500. And there's an old log cabin that was built in the 1700s. Y'all can stay there." And we went, "All right. We're going to go back." And part of it was go back to the land, back in time, you know. And we both pulled high numbers in the draft lottery, so we weren't going to go to Vietnam, thankfully. Mm-hmm. And that's how it all began.
And so talk about starting the band then.
We went up there, the three of us, Leroy from Vermont and Lucky and I, who were from the suburbs of Philly. And we had about $100 and said, "Let's see what happens." And then this is the weirdest thing. So anyway, we got thrown out of there because they didn't actually tell the people who owned it that we were going to be there. And then we found this place on the Potomac River. It was incredible. This old mansion that had been abandoned. We moved there. And there's a lot of stories that are in the book. But what happened was the two busful loads of hippies came driving down, and they were the Hog Farm, and they were on this thing called the Medicine Ball Caravan. They said, "Hey, we're going into Washington, D.C. You want to play?" And you had to want to go to our farm to be there. It was, somehow they had heard in Getting Gas in Romney, West Virginia, that there was a band of hippies up in the. We were want to be a band, but we didn't have it. So they went down and we played. It was Hot Tuna, Stone Ground, Tom Donahue, the famous Tom Donahue was FM radio in San Francisco, and Alice Cooper. And we opened the show.
But were you a Western swing band? I mean, because I don't imagine the hippies from Antioch going back to the land coming up with Western swing.
Well, we played country music. We wanted to be. There was this big, generation gap. Yeah. If you remember the term,
remember,
and you lived it, I'm sure.
Yeah,
and if you were a redneck and you were for the war in Vietnam and hated hippies, and if you were a hippie, you liked the Grateful Dead and the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, etc. And we were like, "Wait a minute. We like all of this stuff, and we're going to play country music. We want to play Porter Wagoner. We want to play Merle Haggard, Hank Williams, Willie Nelson." And so it was kind of weird because we would play for the rock shows, and they'd go, "Play some rock and roll," you know. And we go to these country joints in hillbilly joints in West Virginia and fight our way out of the bar. Luckily, we're not pacifist hippies.
Yeah. I mean, the music may have fooled everybody. There's not a little protest in the side. Well, then tell us about Bob Wills, a very important character.
Well, about that time, we also weren't very good, so we practiced every day, and all of a sudden, we were exploring American roots music is what we were all about. And I had heard San Antonio Rose, but I wasn't familiar with Bob Wills as what he was. And one day we just said, hey, let's play some of this. Wow, this is cool. Merle Haggard had put out this record in 1970 called A Tribute to the Best Damn Fiddle Player in the World, Bob Wills. And we started doing that, and it gave us the freedom to play more different stuff. Yeah. It's jazz infused, it's blues infused. But we were still a country western band, and we cut our hand, and then we had hits in Nashville. You know, it was like.
Well, David Manconi, tell us more about Bob Wills and his, first of all, contribution to western swing, but also maybe the influence on Sleep of the Wheel.
Well, Bob Wills didn't just influence western swing. He pretty much, you know, wrote the book on it and invented it, and he's always been highly, highly influential among musicians. When Asleep at the Wheel was doing this latest Bob Wills tribute record, they get a bunch of famous bands on there to do songs with them, and it's an easy sell. As Ray said, you know, us musicians, we bond over Bob Wills. So,
but you were reluctant to do the tribute album initially when the idea was proposed to you, right?
Well, he had done two of them already, and my son works with us, and he said, hey, it's been 15 years. You need to do it. Because the idea is to bring it to each generation of younger people and say, hey, this is cool stuff.
Right. Well, we've got a song from that tribute album, My Baby Thinks He's a Train. Let's listen to a piece of it.
My baby.
That song, My Baby Thinks He's a Train, by the band Asleep at the Wheel, and I got that wrong. That's not on the tribute album.
No, that was written by Leroy Preston. That was a number one record for Roseanne Cash. She covered it. But that's from the very best of Sleep at the Wheel record.
You talk about the people you played with, because now, initially, when you were getting a name for yourself, you played with some pretty big bands, right?
You mean as a musician?
And the band itself, you were...
Oh, we've backed up, and we've worked with everybody. Before we had a record deal, we backed up country singers. Connie Smith.
Stoney Edwards.
Stoney Edwards. Dave Dudley, et cetera. And then we did work with... tell me which year.
Yeah.
which millennium.
Well, that raises a question for me, and I'll ask you this first, Ray, but then David, maybe you can give some scope on this too. You've been at it now for 45 years. You're still going strong and still putting out great music. It's a music that does have a tradition, and yet you somehow stay ahead of the curve. That's a paradox for me. How do you do that?
You do it by not knowing what you're doing and just putting one foot in front of the other, literally, and saying, you know, being true to yourself. I know, you know, that, I mean, and to your audience.
Yeah.
Look, this has been 45 years. This has been some dark years here. You know, a disco hit, and we were nobody.
80s were rough years for you,
80
right?
to 86 was, you know, I produced Budweiser commercials. I produced Budweiser commercial on Katie Lang, on on Ricky Van Shelton. I did for 2 years. I did This Bud's for You,
and that was you.
Yeah,
I may never forget you.
And
but what? So how does that? Okay, so then you have this hiatus for whatever reason. The world's not ready for you. Disco's big. Whatever's going on. Now you're doing production. You're doing other things. Does that? And when you come back, does that inform what you're doing, or was that just?
Oh yeah.
What do you learn from not making it?
Well,
music?
You learn what not to do and what to do. In other words, you observe. You know, I produced everybody on, you know, who have participated in our albums by producing. I mean, but you know, and I produced other people doing commercial projects. You know, the one thing I learned as a singer was singers are weird. You know, singers have. And luckily, I have a bit of a schizophrenic mind because divas, singers, you know, it's a very insecure place. You get up on stage every day or in front of the microphone, and you're afraid your voice is going to crack or lose or whatever. Every singer. So it sometimes creates weird behavior and diva-like things. So I've learned being on both sides of the microphone has helped.
Yeah, when you work with those divas on the other end, you just want to get them to show up sober or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You were there.
We got green room stories for you, but that's at a little time. Well, so what was happening? Let me ask you, David, in the 80s, what accounted for that slump, do you think?
Well, you had things like punk rock and disco that Asleep at the Wheel never exactly fit into. And even Urban Cowboy, they kind of missed out on.
Yeah. We turned down.
You're no Kinky Friedman. I'll say
that. Thank you. He's my good pal, but thank you.
You say that, but music trends have come and gone, and Asleep at the Wheel has stayed the whole time. So maybe I'll ask you the question I asked Ray, which is sort of what accounts for the success of this band, which has got a sound that's familiar over decades and yet always fresh.
Well, number one, it's really likable. You know, it's hard not to like this stuff. You have to go out of your way not to. But also, this kind of music, this sort of roots music, it's rarely at the top of the charts, but it never goes away completely. Yeah. It'll ebb and flow, and then there'll be these weird little breakthroughs like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, where earthier stuff briefly resurfaces. But yeah, it's always at a pretty good level you can work at.
Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, and as I said, I was a 17-year-old who rediscovered a lot of this, and there are always 17-year-olds that rediscovered every generation. It's a 10-year deal. Every 10 years, you got a new bunch, and even though it's not the mainstream, there's a portion of this generation that's going to look at you and go, wow, I want to hear your music. I want to hear what you got to do. The other night, I was with Pokey LaFarge, he's 30-year-old kid from St. Louis who's doing incredible stuff. And this place, you know, it was a club in Austin. There was 600 people crammed into this club to hear old-time roots music. And there's a bunch of folks like that.
Let's take it back to 1975. That was the song, the letter that Johnny Walker read, which made it to number 10, right, in the charts?
Yeah. Commander Cody's brother had that line, Chris. He was an artist, and he said, hey, I'll write a song called The Letter Johnny Walker Read. So me and Leroy wrote it and sent it to Porter Wagoner and Dolly Parton, and we didn't know them. You know, we just sent it in the mail. And, of course, they didn't do it. So we recorded it, and the record label, Epic Records, says, well, that's a terrible song, and dropped us. And Capitol Records luckily picked us up, and it was top 10 record. But it was very strange because this is a country western song. It was a recitation. It's not western swing. Mm-hmm. It's a recitation in the middle where I talk like Porter Wagoner, you know. And so we went out on the road with Tammy Wynette, Jerry Reed, Donna Fargo, you know, all these really middle-of-the-road country acts. Not Tammy, she was wonderful. And it really almost ruined the band because we were a 10-piece at that time Western swing band, and we had this country Western hit, and all they wanted was play your hit and then do Rocky Top and get the hell off. And we're doing Count Basie songs and Louis Jordan and alongside Hank Williams and our own stuff. Anyway.
Well, we're going to play your hit. We're going to do it right now.
Oh, God help us. Here we go. Please don't request this at the gig.
Johnny Walker sat at a table in a bar, minding his own affairs, drinking his namesake over the rocks. He was drunk, too drunk to care, when a girl bar, walked up beside him, and this is what she said. She said a woman came by with a letter for you, and this is what the letter said.
The letter that Johnny Walker read. It sounds like a little marimba going on in there as well.
You know what's interesting? There's a saxophone. It's what we used to call the hillbilly horns. You take a steel guitar, electric guitar, saxophone, and I think there's a trumpet on that. And it's that sound, you know. So anyway, it was a hit, and they asked us to come play the Grand Ole Opry. And they said, well, you can do it, but you can't bring your saxophone player. This was back before they allowed drums on the opera and everything. And I said, well, they were not playing. Well, what do you mean you're not playing? Well, this is the band. It's not like we're ruining country music. It's a hit. That's about as country music song as there is. Yeah. Anyway.
So you didn't play. Wait, what distinguishes Western swing from country and Western to the untrained ear like mine?
Well, the swing part and the instrumentation is pretty much the same, except that it includes everything. But it's dependent. You've got to have fiddles. You've got to have steel guitar, electric guitar, piano, bass, drums, and horns. There are various different kinds of Western swing, but that's the instrumentation. And then the material is anything you want to do, and then there's usually a 4-4 beat, dun, 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 and swing music. And you take the hits of the great Western, of the big band, and of the Western swing bands. You know? So it's a repertoire thing, but it swings.
Did it help you? I mean, hit like that. You know, you were shaking your head listening to that song again and saying, you know, please don't ask for that tonight at Crane Carborough. On the other hand, it does something for the band, right? I mean, it elevates you to get a top 10 hit. Or was it a problem for you? More a problem than a...
Yeah, it was both, you know, because then they wanted a follow-up. That was the problem.
Yeah. Oh.
And the follow-up was not happening, you know. We were exploring this incredible, treasure trove of Americana music. And I don't mean Americana in the contemporary sense. I mean music of America. Roots music is what we're all about. We did Cajun music. We did honky-tonk music and Western swing music. What happened was Western swing really took a hold, although it was on our first record, but it was just one of many. It took in the 90s. That's when Asleep at the Wheel coalesced into this Western swing unit in the classic sense. You know,
a lot of people have cycled in and out of Asleep at the Wheel over the years. How, in terms of determining the sound and the direction of the band, I mean, is it you, or do you take a lot of direction? Is there a lot of collaboration with you and those members who happen to be in the band at the time?
It's a total collaboration, but it begins with you learn what went before. So the great, I've had 100 people in this band, and some of them, have gone to Dylan's band. You know, Tony's been with Dylan for 28 years, my old bass player. Larry Franklin's on every hit record in Nashville. Junior Brown was in the band, et cetera, et cetera. And you build upon what was there, and then you add what is you. That's what I always tell them. I said, you got to learn what went before and then add your personality into it.
So you got a Texas Christmas show coming up. That fun for you? Kind of a
I love
get
it.
Away from
Merry Texas Christmas, y'all. Well, we've done two Christmas albums, and because you get to play other songs. No, we do the same thing. We do Miles of Texas and Route 66 and all those songs that we do. But yeah, we get to do a bunch of them. Plus, we have pretty off the wall. You know, they said, well, Ray, you're Jewish and you do Christmas music. I said, yeah, well, you know, there wouldn't be any Christmas without Jews, Jesus and Irving Berlin.
There you go. There you go.
Right?
I think that was the Kinky Friedman song. They don't make Jews like Jesus anymore. Forgive me for raising him twice in this interview with you, Ray, but there you are.
That's all right.
Ray Benson, band leader. Ray Benson is the band leader for the country group Asleep at the Wheel. His new memoir is called Coming Right At You. David Menconi is a music writer for the NNO and co-wrote that memoir. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you, Frank. Really a pleasure to be here. And I don't know if there are tickets left, but if not, listen to this radio station. They actually play us.
Well done.
It's a beautiful thing.
Asleep at the Wheel performs tonight at the Carborough Arts Center, a holiday-themed show called Merry Texas Christmas, y'all. Band also performs New Year's Eve at Greensboro's Coliseum.
With the Avid
Brothers, all going to be there for that's in Greensboro, right? But tonight in Carborough, all of that information at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, Sarah Foster recalls the origins of Durham's Foster's Market. Stay tuned. Christmas, you all. Merry Texas Christmas, you all. May your days be sunny and bright. May your hearts be happy and light.